We continue the series, the Light series. I'll give you the title in this somewhere along the line. It's been a struggle with this title, but you'll get it hopefully. John chapter 9 and verse 1. Somebody was asking me about the series before church. One thing I love about a series is it gives us an opportunity to dive deeper into the Word of God. Gives us an opportunity to go back and get some more information that we had the week prior and add to some information this week and then the next week and the next week. It gives you a deeper understanding. A lot of times in church, we'll preach a message and it's almost like we're done. It's like eating a meal. You prepared it, you cooked it, you cleaned the dishes, and that meal's done. And you no longer eat from that meal, but it was necessary, right? When you get into a series of messages, you can go back and get some of that information, and you realize maybe you didn't get it as good as you could have got it, amen? Or you find something that helps you in that time, right? Y'all good? Have I gave y'all enough time to find John chapter 9? I mean, I hee-hawed around. I tried to explain this as long as I could, what a series is. If you ain't found John chapter 9 yet, you can come to the altar and pray and also go to the table of contents. Some of y'all would rather pray on the altar before you went to the table of contents. Amen. John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made clay out of spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I love this story. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. I love teaching on it, but today I wanted to, God dropped something in my spirit last night and I had to go and rearrange the message. I had to totally rearrange. I had it planned out, had it wrote out. I was kind of sitting on idle. I'm sitting like, man, good Lord, me and you, we got together on Friday. All right, Saturday, we can do my own thing. And then Sunday, we're going to go in there and we're going to fire it up. And all of a sudden, God started dropping stuff on me on Saturday. And I'm like, hey, God, you're messing with my message. And he said, I'm messing with whose message? It's his message, right? This whole thing's about him. So we started reworking. I wanted you to know this. This word dropped down in my spirit yesterday. The word was transition. I started seeing this scripture from a total different place. This man was in a transition. There are people sitting in this room. You're in a transition. God is working on you. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because you're sitting here. You're sitting in the place of light. And if you're sitting in the place of light, it doesn't matter how dark your life is, God is here. I was thinking about the man and as he was sitting there in his total darkness with no hope and no future and nothing going on in his life. And I bet people walked by him and maybe gave him some money or said things but murmured underneath their breath and would say things like, poor guy, poor man. He's got nothing. He's got no sight. He's sitting in total darkness. I'm glad I'm not him. Have you ever been in a situation where people were glad they weren't you? I have. It's okay. But see, wait a minute. God knew this man. He said, for God had to work in him. So then next thing you see, there's a transition. You see somebody and you think, man, that's a bad place to be. But then all of a sudden, you see in the scriptures that Jesus was standing there. Can you see the transition? Maybe somebody who didn't see him yesterday see him today. He's still blind, but Jesus is standing there. To some people, they're like, man, poor guy. There's the light of the world standing right beside him, and he's sitting in total darkness. Poor guy. But he's thinking to himself, you ought to have seen me yesterday. Because right now I can't see the light, but I know it's here. Some of you right now, you're in a transition period. It was dark yesterday. It might have been dark this morning. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is standing here for you. But then if you had seen him just a little bit longer, you would have said, man, what a bad situation. Because now Jesus is standing there next to the man in darkness, but now he's talking to him. He's sharing some words with him. There's a transition going on. And some people would look at him and say, poor guy. The light's there. He's still in the darkness. And God's giving him a sermon. God's giving him a message. God, I love what the thing is, though. You can't see the transition. So maybe from a distance you're looking, and what you're seeing is a sermon, and what you're not seeing is the fact that he's speaking into his life and saying, this man was not born blind because there was something wrong. He was born blind because I'm going to do a work in him, and it's going to be an amazing thing. Some of y'all need to hear this morning. God speaks life into your dark places before you even know what your potential is. Good God. Some of y'all, all of you have heard of how bad it's going to be, how bad your family was, how bad. This was the same thing with your grandmother. It's the same thing with your mother. It's the same thing with you. And it'll be the same thing with your daughter. It was the same thing with your grandfather. It was the same thing with your dad. It's the same thing. Listen, praise God. Nobody knows but God why you're in the situation you're in. But if he's standing there and if he's speaking into your life, there's a transitioning happening. Somebody said, man, you're a fool for going to church this morning. Why are you even going? Because I'm tired of sitting in the darkness. You were looking for a word. Dark and the light and words. I put dark plus light plus words. And if you start looking at it from a distance, you're like, poor guy. He's got Jesus standing there, but he's still sitting in the dark. Poor guy. He ain't like me. I've got my side. I'm going and doing my own thing. I'm going here and there. But guess what? In all of your blessedness and all the things you got going on, guess what I noticed? Jesus wasn't standing with them. And Jesus wasn't speaking to them. Praise God. Some people, you look at them and you say, man, I hate that they're going through that. You know what? They're sitting there going, man, if I hadn't had this in my life, maybe Jesus wouldn't be standing right here. So I started thinking about this way. He said he started to touch him. Amen? Jesus touched him. Why is it? Man, look at this. Jesus was standing there next to the man in the dark. He was the light of the world. He's going to speak to him. But then all of a sudden he looked down and said, you know what? I think I'll touch him. Now it's weird. I'll get into that in a minute. But he touches him. And he's touching his... God. He's touching the place that he's broke the most. Listen, God wants to touch you in the place that you're broke the most where you can heal the fastest. See, some of you don't want that place to be touched. You want God to hit a superficial area. You want him to kind of deal with it on a little bit because you know if he hits you in the place where you're hurting the most, then you might get emotional. You might not know how to control yourself. You might not know how to keep it under control. You might know how, yeah, let me put it this way. You might not know how to act around other people. That would be an awesome thing. Because some of y'all act too good. Amen? Some of you act too good. God's sitting there going, I want to touch the blind place. I want to touch what's hurting you the most. That's hindering you the most. Listen, it's a weird thing, ain't it? Can you see it? Here's a man who's blind, and here's Jesus. I'm going to get into this in a minute, but it's... I don't know what you're touching because there's never been any hope. If you touch me, I don't have eyes. I've never had eyes since I was born. God, I've kind of gave up on having those. Yeah, but I'm touching you. See, the light was speaking, but now it's touching. Amen? And if you're looking from a distance, my gosh, if you're looking from a distance, if you're not listening to what's going on, and if you're really not paying attention, you might think, poor guy, poor girl, they're in the altar. They're broken, they're weeping, they're crying. Man, God's, man, He's touching them, but man, I don't know. I'm glad I'm all right. I'm glad I'm whole. I'm glad I ain't like that. I'm glad I'm not like that. And then He says this, what's this? He says, in the dark, and then the light, and then the words, and then the touch. And listen to this. And He says, hey, I need you to do me a favor. I want you to go and I want you to wash in the pool of Siloam. Now listen, this is the kicker. This is the one. You see him in the holler. You see him broken before God. You see God touching him. But then you see Jesus going this way. And you see a blind man go the other way. And he ain't completely healed yet. And he looks kind of foolish. He's got dirt or clay on his eyes and he's walking. Does anybody know the direction of the pool of Siloam? I can't see. God started a process in me, and I need to get to the pool of Siloam to finish it. I believe God's already healed me, but I've got to do my part too. Can somebody please take me to the pool of Siloam? Can somebody please lead me or just at least point me in the right direction and I'll keep walking and somebody would see him and say, oh, poor guy, look at him. He can't even walk on his own. Yeah, but Lamar, guess what? They didn't see. Just 30 minutes ago, I was sitting beside the road begging, and I couldn't see anything, and I had no hope. Praise God, sometimes you need to look at where you were, not where you are. Amen? Stop letting people look at you and say, man, you're a failure, because in this period of life, you should be doing better. But you didn't see me. I was in my darkest place just a few years ago, and God came by, and He touched me, and I'm on my way to fulfill the faith part. But listen, it might look kind of weird right now, but He's still working on me. And then it's my favorite part. He came back. Seeing. Listen, God, y'all don't get it. He walked all the way to the pool of Siloam, barely making it. Is this a splash? He puts his hands in the water. This is it. Some of you have let Jesus touch you. You've let Him speak into your life. You know He was present, but you won't do the part that you're supposed to do and continue to wash in Christ. I wonder how it happened. Come on, stay with me. I wonder that first splash. Oh my God. I'm seeing. Somebody said, hey, look. No, you ain't got to tell me to look. I can see. I wonder if he got up. He started going back and he said, come, and he came seeing. He went right back to the very spot. And somebody came by and they looked at him and said, I don't know. Poor guy. Yeah, I look poor to you. I don't really have a lot of wealth. I don't have a lot of things going on in my life. I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't have a home. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. I don't have a whole lot of stuff. But I have my sight. And just a little while ago, I could barely make it to the pool of Siloam. I could barely see. Praise God. And then I couldn't see at all. And God's spoken in my life. I know it looks pretty rough right now, but God's working in my life. I'm in a transition period. Some of y'all are in a good transition period. But you keep hearing the world say, you're not very good. Why aren't you doing any better? Some of y'all need to do this. You need to turn around and look. Have you ever done this? Me and my wife, we went on a hike yesterday, and we were hiking, and we went, and I took her on the wrong route. So the only thing I could think of to kind of make it better was I turned around and I said, look. She goes, what? I said, that's where we were. That's something. At least we're not way back there. She goes, that's nice. How long until we get home? I don't know. But look how far we've come. Remember when we were on that trail and we had a hard time getting out of those woods, and then we thought, man, we could just get on a good path for a while, and then we did get on a good path, and yeah, that path was hard too, but then we look back and we said, that was way back there. But listen, don't stand around looking back too long, because you might see something back there that might say, hey, come back here. It could lie to you and say, you can come back here and do this. It was really good back here. Nope, turn around real quick and keep walking. Turn around real quick and say, no, I'm not going back there. That's not who I am. That's not what God intended. I think I'm just going to keep walking. There's a transition. Some of y'all are sitting in transition right now. Some of you this morning, you're not as young as you used to be. Some people are looking at you and they're going, man, he's older now. She's older now. Man, poor her. And you're sitting there going, no. I've learned everything that you haven't learned yet. I've had experience that you haven't had the experiences of yet. I'm wiser now than I ever was. And the greatest thing is I'm closer to God now than I ever have been. I'm closer to heaven than I've ever been. Listen, I've lived long enough. God's left me here to be a witness long enough to tell somebody like you, it's not about how young you are. It's about how close you can get to God before you pass away. Can I tell you something neat about age and stuff like that? You know what? Everybody in this room, you really don't know how old you are. You might want to write that down. You don't. Some of y'all are going to go, you don't, you're dumb, preacher. I know exactly how old I am. Yeah, but no, see, you look at some people right now and you think they've only got a short period of time to live, and you look at some other people in this room and you say they have a long period of life left, and you don't know that. Amen? I hate to tell you this, but I've been to the funeral homes and I've been to the grave sites, and guess what? The dates on those are really change a lot in certain places. Some people had real long lives and some people had short lives. Amen? So I'm telling you this morning that you need to wisen up and stop seeking for the whole world, and you need to seek Jesus. Hey, you need to seek him really hard, because guess what? He is what you need in this life more than anything else. Fortune and fame will pass away, and yes, your physical abilities will pass away, but you know what? Christ will never pass away. Amen. Jesus told me right after I got through that part, he said, go back and look at this one verse, and I will. Go back and look at this one verse with me. And verse 2, it said, chapter 9, verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And now listen, this is God speaking, it ain't me. So if you don't like this kind of preaching, then you got to take it up with him and not me. Okay? He told me to write it down just like this. You must have forgot. I don't know why God is cool like that. He just is. Because some of you in this room are like, why are you talking like? You must have forgot. See, when you get saved and you get born again and you've been walking with Jesus for a little bit or for a minute or for a year or for 2 years or for 20 years or for 40 years or however long, you tell everybody you've been walking for God and you are a part of this church and you started this church, and without you this church would not be. Guess what? You must have forgot. You must have forgot where you came from. Who sinned? His parents or him? Who did it wrong? You or him? Guess what? Who messed up? Nobody messed up. You must have forgot where God saved you from. Because guess what? Every time God chose me, somebody really messed up in sin, he reminds me that could easily have been you. That could easily be you. Only thing difference is I saved you, and by my grace and by my mercy, I changed you. So stop looking at somebody and saying, who messed up? How did they get that way? How did they be that bad? They were that bad because guess what? That's the same plan the devil had for you. And if you had not found God's grace, he would have done it to you. You would have been a proverb. People would have found you in Busted Magazine. People would have looked your name up online. They would have read it and said, man, who messed up? The parents or her? The parents or him? And you know what you know? Every time you see somebody that's really messed up, there's only two things you need to do. You need to pray for them. And the next thing, you need to take action for them. What does that mean? Get involved. Get involved. What does that mean? Show up. Love them unconditionally. Find a way to minister to them. And if God don't give you that green light, keep praying. But don't ever get into the place and looking from God's point of view. You're walking with Jesus. Yeah, that's great. You're going to church. That's amazing. But don't look down on somebody else and go, man, they're really messed up people. Because you must have forgot. Then he said, you must not have known. That was the next part God told me to write down. You must not have known. You must not have known the plan that the devil had for you. Amen? You must not have known how bad your sin would have gotten if you would have continued. I had a glimpse into mine. Did you ever get a glimpse into your sin? Did you ever get a glimpse on how bad you really were? Part of my testimony is this. I had done certain things, but guess what? When God saved me, He messed up some plans that I was making up. Oh, gosh. He didn't just save me from my sin. He saved me from the sin that I was thinking about doing. There were some things on the back burner that I was cooking up in here that if they had got out, I wouldn't be standing where I'm standing today. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Listen, you must not have known. The devil had a bigger plan for you than just getting in trouble one time. Can I speak right here, just be honest with you? Some of y'all need to come back to Jesus really hard, because guess what? You forgot where you came from too. You forgot how bad those situations. You got caught drinking. You got caught in sex. You got caught with pornography. You got caught lying. You got caught. But all of a sudden you forgot how bad that felt, and all of a sudden the devil's lying to you again, and you're dealing some of the same stuff you were dealing with when you told God you'd never do it again. I might have ruined my altar call, but guess what? I ain't in it for the altar call, and I'm not in it to make you happy. I'm in it to tell you the truth. If you didn't know, now you know. God told me to write it that way. When you walk by people and you think, man, how bad it is for them, just think, oh, there that goes me. Without the grace of Christ Jesus, there goes me. There goes my situation. Here's my favorite part of the message. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, golly bum. What's this? When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. He did what? He did what? Jesus did what? He spit in some dirt and started making clay out of it. God, I'm not going to be embarrassed like that. Amen. I'm not going to be embarrassed like that. I'm not going to let Jesus make a fool out of me. How dark is it in your life? How long do you want to stay in the dark? How long do you want to stay lost? How long do you want to stay without peace, without joy, without happiness? How long do you want to sit there and say, I ain't going to let God make a fool out of me. I ain't going to go up there and let Him touch me that way. That's how darkness does. That's the title of this message. Darkness doesn't get a vote on how it gets to leave. Amen. See, when we come in here in the mornings and we turn the lights on, it's dark in here. So guess what? When the light comes on, the light doesn't go, darkness, how would you like to leave? Nope. When the light comes on, it has to go the way the light wants it to go, because the light is stronger than the darkness. Some of you are wanting God to do it just a good old way. Hey, God, here's what I want to do. I want to go to church. I want you to touch me on my left shoulder. And then right after service, I want to get in my car and go home and be super spiritual and just go to heaven. That's what God, if you could just make it real neat, that's what I want. God said, well, I might do that for somebody, but I'm not going to do it for everybody. Amen? Because see, God, He healed everybody differently. There was a little issue. There was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she was the same way. Jesus was passing by, and there was a big crowd, and she's looking. Somebody told her, you know, you've wasted all your money on doctors and all this, and you ain't got no better. Jesus can heal you. Be quiet. I don't want to hear that. Nothing's helped me. Nothing's helped me. I don't want to believe that. And they said it in such a way. They must have said it in such a way that it ate at her. That's how the gospel works. I hear somebody all the time, nobody wants to hear the gospel. I didn't want to hear the gospel either. But once you tell somebody the gospel and you walk away, that's a seed planted. Amen? And I hate to tell you, but that thing, it's a powerful seed. It starts working on you, man. So she's sitting there going, man, I don't know about this Jesus. I don't really. But I still have that issue of blood. And he is passing by. And there is a big crowd there. I could just touch him. Nobody would know. That way I won't be embarrassed and I won't bother him. Just be a simple situation. So she got in a position. She said, you know what? And I won't even touch him real high. I don't need to touch Jesus real high. I'll just touch him real low. I'll touch him way down on the border of his garment in the crowd, and nobody will know. That's what some of you are trying to do in church. You're trying to sneak in and just touch him, and I'll get out. I'll just touch him, and I'm out of here. God ain't like that. If you touch him with faith, you stop the whole thing. Because she did. She's sitting there, and she's waiting. She touched the border of his garment, and the power of God came out. And when she touched him, he touched her. That's how God works. You go to touch him, you're like, I'm going to touch him. And by the time you get your hand on him, praise God, he done hit you in that spot. He got you in that spot. And she says, oh my God. Some of y'all right now are going, why do you act that way? It ain't an act. I'm just in love with him. Some of you say, you're emotional. I can't help myself. You ever find yourself out of the darkness? The name of Jesus will be the best thing you ever can say. You ever find yourself out of your mess? Somebody said, why do you get all excited about Jesus? Where were you at when he found you? That's why I'm emotional. That's why I'm tore up. That's why I'm a wreck. That's why I get emotional. That's why I say what I say. Because when he found me, he leans over to Peter as he's walking. He says, I believe. I perceive somebody. I can tell somebody's touched me. I wish he'd be able to leave here today and say, I can tell somebody touched me. Peter said, I hate to tell you this, Jesus, but this is a large crowd. Everybody's touching me. Everybody's touching you. Not everybody. He starts, man, can you see him? Can you see Jesus? This is where I see Jesus. He starts looking around the crowd. Where are you? I know you're here. Where are you at? And she says, the Bible says, and she knew that she could not be hid. It was me. Guilty. You're a rabbi. You're a teacher. You're a Jewish man. I'm unclean. I've been unclean for 12 years. I can't go to the temple. I can't go to the synagogue. I should not be touching another man. I should not be touching anybody. I should be all separated and everything. But somebody told me. And I'd rather be dead than to continue living the way I'm living. Jesus looked at her and says, thy faith has made thee whole. And then he turned around and he started walking. It's pretty neat. You know where he's walking? Do y'all know where he's headed? He's headed to Jairus' house. Jairus is already 12, he's already like 12 people ahead. He's already busting the crowd. He's like a wedge buster in football. He's busting the crowd loose because he's, come on, Jesus. My daughter's sick unto death. Come on, let's go. Come on. And by the time they get out to the edge of town and the crowd's kind of dispersing and Jairus is thinking, man, we're about to make it. Somebody from Jairus' house comes and says, hey, don't even bother the master. She's done, passed away. Jairus is deflated. He just starts to get remorseful and starts breaking down because if you just heard that your daughter passed away, you began the mourning process and the grieving. But then Jesus walks up and puts his hands on his shoulders and says, don't listen to a word they're saying. Just keep going. But God, this ain't the way. You healed the woman with the issue of blood. She just touched you and she's well. I don't do everything the same for everybody. Keep walking. Keep coming. We're going to make it. They get to the house, and there's all these people in there. They said they were crying and weeping and wailing, and they got there. Oh, my God, Jerry, your daughter, she just died. Oh, my God. Why, Jesus, get them out of here. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. They went from crying to laughing. They did. They said they laughed at Jesus, and Jesus said, shut the door. Sometimes you just got to shut the door on some people. God, shut the door. And they went up and says, her. Yeah, that's her. He touched her and says, hey, sis, wake up. She gets up. And I could just tell how nosy some of the people were. They had their ear to the door. I hear Jesus walking around. And I hear Jairus, disciples. But I hear like a little girl laughing. Are you hungry? Yes, dying will make you hungry. Said, okay, good. Somebody go outside and fling the door open and tell them to get a couple of ribeyes and T-bones on the grill. Kill the fatted calf because she's home and she's ready to eat. Opens her. Hey, would you guys slaughter one of the oxen and would you bring in a couple of steaks? Steaks? She was just dead. Don't she need an IV? No, that's for the hospital. This is Jesus stuff. I ain't going to let Jesus touch me and make me look like a fool and then wander through town and look like a fool walking. Man, did you see how stupid he looked? He don't even know which way the pool of Siloam is. Man, he's got another person. One thing, Jesus was rubbing dirt in his eyes. He walked all the way through town with dirt in his face. And that was made with spit. But then he got down to the pool of Siloam, and he began to wash. And he's running back now. Somebody said, man, aren't you that guy? Someone's like, no, it ain't that guy. He goes, it is me. I got to do it, man. I can't help myself. Bleep, 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 bleep. Big old eyes, man. Big old eyes. Bleep, bleep, bleep. He looked like a frog in a rainstorm. They're like, man, I don't know if I would let Jesus do that to me. Oh, it's well worth it. You'll remember me sitting in my darkness. You'll remember me when Jesus showed up. You'll remember me when he touched me. You'll remember me when he sent me. But you're really going to remember me because I got some eyes. I can see now, and God's good. Some of y'all need to make the first steps out of your darkness. You need to let him touch you, and you need to let him send you. Let's all stand. Get up here to sing. This altar's open.